Good morning.
I just I'm really honored to be here. I consider you know, this is one of, if not the favorite place for me to come, and there's lots of reasons. Over the years, as an elder, as Pastor Vic shared, I've had the privilege to come here on the basis of being an elder to ordain an enormous amount of people in your church. There's no other church that's given out more credentials than this church right here in all of the constituency. That's pretty good. That's pretty cool. And whenever they're given out, and I'm talking about licensed Christian worker as well as ordination, but when they're giving out, it's a sign of a pastor that doesn't hold things close to himself. The fact that he would fan the flame on the gifts, as the Bible says, and then recognize gifts and callings that are without repentance, and to be able to see in the lives of you the potential, and then I get to come along and just put a stamp on it. it's kind of my job is fun. His is more difficult. Because you have to have discernment when you're, and we trust Pastor Vic when it comes to these moments. We trust there's a whole series of things that go through. But when I come here, it's really kind of cool. You guys clapped a little bit there when we were introduced, partly because we got up before you had a chance to clap. Yeah, you can clap. Thank you. Yeah, but that's called a nice golf clap right there. Yeah, but let me tell you, I was sharing. Somebody came to me early this morning, and they said, when Pastor Chris, when the congregation found out you were coming, the last week clapped. Now that was a high for me, because I mean I'm not even hearing you clap, so that was like really cool to me, and that's kind of how my heart is this morning, and I really mean that we do deeply care. I get to see Vic a little bit more than Pastor D, but I got to ordain and be a part of her service. And but they are friends as well, and we consider that. And the older I get, seems like I want to be around people I love and be with. You know what I'm saying? And now I'm in the position where I'm going a lot more. I'm traveling a lot more because Carol and I pastored a church for 27 years, and the only time I was really going out was when I had an ordination. But now I'm going out because every weekend, almost, I'm somewhere. I mean, I'm booked all the way through June already. And going someplace to touch people, love people, care for people. Without pumping you up or anything, I really want you to know there's some places I go because of the job, but I come here because of my relationship and the connection I feel here. So thank you for your love. I'm a full gospel preacher because Rose can cook like a, oh my gracious alive. I mean, breakfast, I don't need another meal today, for crying out loud, you know. And in fact, I would be coming on the 27th of February because I like food, you know what I'm saying? The kids can cook, you know, for me. I'm good. But the hospitality of Roberto and Rose has just been wonderful. And we just are grateful to be here. So if you have a Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter 54. For some reason, my marker got out. Let me just find it. Isaiah 54. Pastor Vic, I preached this word twice this morning and one other time. We left last January from our church, and one of the things we decided when we left is we wouldn't go back unless we were invited. I wanted to give the new pastor a chance to really shine, and we are very good friends. Just this morning he texted me and said, "Hey, how you doing, good friend?" We continue to be very, very good friends. He's like a son, and his wife's like a daughter to Carol and I. But I got invited back in November to speak to a church, which was my church for 27 years, if you will. And I said, man, I was nervous, man. I said, what do you preach, you know? Because I preached for 27 years in that church and never repeated a sermon. I never repeated a sermon in 27 years. I always wanted to be fresh. And I rarely repeat sermons ever, you know, when I go out. Now, God has given me 4 sermons to preach to the pastors and the leaders and the churches at Elam Fellowship. But he told me not to preach any of those. He told me to preach the sermon that I gave to my own church. So this is out of my heart today. And the others would be out of my heart too, but I just want you to understand the sensitivity of that. Is this is a sermon that I wrote for my church, but I couldn't stop from feeling that this was a word for you as an individual and as a church. It's a church, if you would, that I would give to my own church, if you will, that I had pastored. So I want you to hear it from that spirit as I share this morning. I think it'll bless you. In Isaiah 54, it's actually Isaiah 54, this is a no-brainer, is sandwiched between Isaiah 53 and 55. Aren't you glad I'm smart? It's sandwiched right between those two, right? And Isaiah 53, it's interesting. Isaiah 53 is about the suffering servant. It's about the pain and the price that we have for freedom. It's about what Pastor Vic talked about, the cross this morning. All the way back in Isaiah, there's a prophetic word that says it's that he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. By our stripes we were healed. You find that in Isaiah 53. Then if you go over to Isaiah 55, it's really a chapter that's talking about an invitation to abundant living. In fact, some of your Bibles would even have that as a heading at the beginning of that chapter, where it says it's an invitation to abundant living, a chapter of promise and promotion. And it says things like this in Isaiah 55. There's verses that we would know, like, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways. See, so it's about promotion, it's about promise. So the way I look at it is Isaiah 55 is about the pain and the price. Isaiah 54 is about the promise and the privilege. But watch this. Isaiah 54, which is what I'm going to share one verse from, is really about the process and the preparation. So we've got the pain who paid the price, Jesus. We've got the promise of where he wants to take us. But there's a preparation work in the middle. And that's what I feel the Lord is wanting to say to you as a church. I entitled my message, I think it's in your bulletin, and this is the title of my message, and that is Enlarging Your Capacity for Greatness. Enlarging your capacity for greatness. Now, when you start talking about greatness, sometimes the church can play down on that because we think, well, we're not supposed to be great. We're supposed to be humble. But that's not completely true, because Jesus said a couple things to us that actually challenge that. The first thing he described, remember when the disciples were kind of arguing who's the greatest? It's interesting, Jesus didn't really get on them for talking about who's the greatest. He got on them by saying this. He said, if you're going to be great, this is the condition, be humble or be a servant. He said, if you're going to be great, be servant of all. So he wasn't really going against greatness. He was just saying the attitude that we should have as you become great should be one of a servant, one of a person that's humble. And then he even said this in another verse. He said, listen, talk about greatness. Greater things shall you do than I've done. You see? So I like your preaching. That's good. Come on, bring it back at me. I love it. Come on. But see, the thing is that we need to understand that God doesn't want us to stay small as the church. Come on. Small-minded. He wants us to walk out in the fullness of all that God has. He's wanting us to come into that place of greatness. As long as it's humble, as long as we're grounded, as long as we are servants, he's saying, the sky's the limit. I gave you the Holy Spirit. I gave you the Holy Spirit so that it wouldn't just be you, Chris. It'd be a whole multitude of people. So greater things should you do. He says even this. He said prophecy is even greater than speaking in tongues because it has greater effect. All through the Bible, I studied this thing on greatness because I want to write a book on it. Because, see, God is not looking for your church to be good or even looking for it to be large. He's looking for it to be great. And I've been in large churches that aren't great, and I've been in small churches that are not great. Not the size. It's not the size. The size is not the issue. The healthiness is the issue. See? And so God wants this church to be great with those contexts. So when I say this morning that He wants to enlarge your capacity for greatness, He's talking about you as an individual, and He's talking about this church, I believe. I believe that He wants this church to be great. And He wants this church to enlarge its capacity. I believe that the Lord wants you as an individual to be great. But He wants you to enlarge your capacity. It's the chapter that we're talking about. Let me just read the one verse. It's in Isaiah 54. I think I'll put it up there for you. New King James Version of the Bible. And it says this, "Enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Do not spare, lengthen your cords, and strengthen your stakes." Three things that I see that will help us enlarge our capacity. Three things that we can do to prepare ourselves for greatness. Because I believe God wants us to be in a place where we can say, greater things are we doing than even Jesus did. Would that be cool or what? I don't know what that looks like, because He did some pretty cool things. I've never even raised anybody from the dead yet. So what's that mean? I've never even seen anybody's eyes open yet. But come on, that'd be cool. I have no idea, you know, what God wants to do. But I know He wants to enlarge my capacity, watch this now, to be everything He's called me to be. Nothing more, nothing less. So if He's not called me to do certain things, man, listen, read my lips. The reason I'm not joining your lip sync thing is because I'm not called to sing. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? Enlarging your capacity for greatness. Number one, how do you deal with this? Here's how it goes. How many want to jump in on this with me for preparation's sake? Okay, here we go. Number one, clear out your space. Listen to what He says. Enlarge the place of your tent. Now, I've read that verse for years and years. I mean years. And I never realized He didn't say enlarge your tent. He said enlarge the place of your tent. He didn't say enlarge your tent. I have always thought He meant enlarge the tents. Come on, get your tents bigger. No, He said enlarge the place of your tents. And if you check it out, it really means clear the space for your tents. In fact, the Message version of the Bible uses that verse too and says it this way. Clear the lots of ground for your tents. Make your tents large and spread out. Think big. Use plenty of rope and drive the tent pegs deep. Enlarge the place of your tent. I was a Boy Scout when I was younger. I loved camping. I had a Boy Scout master that really loved camping. He took us all kinds of places. When I was 13 years old, he took me and another guy, and we went on a survival trip in the Monongahela National Forest in West Virginia. And for 5 days, we learned how to survive off of two matches and a poncho. And then they left us for 2 days by ourselves, 13 years old. Today, we'd be turned in. But I was left in the middle of these places. They took us somewhere, blindfolded us, and said, come back. You got to meet us here. We had no compass, no nothing, two matches and a poncho. And I learned how to cook with a poncho and boil water with a poncho. I learned all kinds of things. But one of the things I learned is this. When I was camping as a Boy Scout, I learned when we were camping, the first thing you did when you set up your tent is you clear your space. The first thing you do is if not, you're going to get in trouble because there's all kinds of things you need to clear. There's rocks. There's grass. You have to weed, get rid of the weeds. You know, and then if you had a shovel, and that day I didn't have a shovel on the, but if you have a shovel, you can take the lumps of the ground and smooth out the ground, scrape it and make sure it's even. Otherwise, you're going to sleep all night in your tent with a rock in your back. How many know what I'm talking about, huh? And that's no fun. I'm telling you that right now. And if you're like me, once you lay down, you don't want to pull that tent up after you've been laying down and get there. So you'll lay there all night with your rock in your back. Please listen to me. Christians walk around with rocks on their back. God is saying if you're going to enlarge the capacity to greatness, He says to the children of Israel, you're going to be camping for a while. You're going to be living out of tents for a while. But your father said, Abraham, that you're going to have many generations. I'm coming to tell you to enlarge the capacity. You need to know, you need to clear your space. Clear the place of your tent of three things. Rocks, weeds, uneven places. Rocks. I think rocks represent the hard places in our lives. There are people who want to grow but still have unforgiveness in their lives. It's a rock that's weighing you down. It's a rock that's in your back. I think of bitterness, bad attitudes. How many of you have ever met anybody with a bad attitude? Come on. How many have a bad attitude? No, just sorry. You know? Yeah. I get funny when I preach, you know, and when some people just have a bad attitude. I can see you. You're not laughing. Don't laugh now. I already saw who you were. Okay? Just kidding. All right? But listen, bad attitudes, bitterness. I know Christians that walk around with rocks on their back. God's saying, you want to grow? You want to enlarge your capacity to be all that God wants you to be? Clear your place. See, you can do one or two things with rocks. You can throw rocks. When you have rocks on your back, you take some and throw them at people because then they attack you and you attack back. Or you can carry rocks. And I know people that have been carrying rocks for years. And they walk around trying to, Jesus is cool. But they can't walk at the pace that God's calling them to. Got to clear the rocks. Number two, you got to clear the weeds. We used to camp, and believe it or not, if you don't clear the weeds, even reeds could stick up through the tent. And the Bible talks about when the sower came along and sowed seed on the ground, there was one of them, it says that he sowed among the weeds and the thorns, and what happened is that choked the word. And I think some of us need to be careful because we have things in our lives that choke the very spoken word of God in our lives. I don't know this church as well as Pastor Vic, but I can guarantee if I talk to him long as pastor to pastor, he and I would talk, and I guarantee you that he's heard people in this church receive prophetic words who are not living them because they still carry around weeds in their life. It's choked the word prophetically that God wanted to do in their lives. They haven't taken a course when they said, if you study yourself approved unto God, you'll get it, but you haven't taken a course. And there's courses being offered. You see what I'm saying? We need to remove the weeds. Things that choke us. I thought of another thing that chokes people is money. People get caught up in making sure we got enough money. A brother in our church, that's nice now, I get to talk about people in my church, it's kind of nice. A brother in my church, a great man, loves God, all that kind of stuff, called to go overseas but wouldn't spend a red cent because he's saving for that rainy day. Enlarge your capacity for greatness. Clear your space. And then the third area is the uneven places. And it's all things you could come up with your own illustrations as the Holy Spirit speaks to you. But let me give you an illustration of what I think is God is possibly saying when I say, don't be uneven. I think God's saying to us at times that have a balanced life. Don't be up one minute, down the next. Don't be up the next, down the next. Well, you know, people... We need to find out what's going on. Maybe we need deliverance. Maybe we need counseling. Maybe we need something to help us. But some of us, there's people I know, they're happy in Jesus, but 4 minutes later, they're unhappy in Jesus. Who changed? Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. What happened? And I mean, I'm not up every minute. You can ask my wife. She's the one that knows me the most. Sometimes I'm down. But I mean... sometimes you just don't know if somebody's, you know, compliment is really a compliment because it's coming from emotion rather than heart. The church needs to be a little bit more solid. Uneven spaces scraped out, making it pat down so it's a good place to pitch your tent. By the way, we are tents, you know. We are the tabernacle of God, you know. The dwelling place of God. And God is saying we need to clean the space where God wants us to go. how he wants to enlarge our lives. Same with this church. This is a tabernacle, a gathering place. And we need to say, Lord, I'm not talking about physical necessarily. Maybe God is speaking, and that's up to the leadership here. I'm not going to try to prophesy anything God's not saying. But I believe that God gave me this word for my church in New York, but he's also given it for you. What is it that needs to be looked at so that the capacity of greatness is more greater? I know the heart of your pastors are that, to see this church become all God wants it to be. Number one, tell me what I told you. Clean out your space. Come on, say it with me. Clean out your space. That's right. Number one. So if you want to enlarge yourself, you want to prepare yourself for what God wants to do, you need to enlarge your capacity for greatness. Number two, stretch out your reach. It says it right here. Number one, enlarge the place of your tent. Then let them stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. I believe many of us, including me, at times, live way below the abilities than God and the desires that God has for me. I believe many of us are living below the capability and the capacity that God has already designed in me. He's given me gifts that I am not using fully. You know what I'm saying? And God is stirring that up in me. My wife, man, you just push her. You push me. I'm a pastor. You push her. She's a prophet. She can prophesy. For me, you push me into prophesying and you might be in trouble. You know what I'm saying? Because it doesn't come. But every now and then a spirit comes on me and I got to prophesy. And that's stretching for me. That's outside of me. I can counsel you, pastor you, love you, kiss you, lick you like Lassie. Not really. I'm not going to touch you that way, okay? But you know what I'm talking about. Lovely, lovely. But my wife, she's just got that prophetic edge in her. She can give you a word in season and out of season. Don't ever try to play Bible trivia with my wife. You will lose. She's got the word in her, so when she is pushed, it comes out of her. See? So you got to have that. So it's very important that when people start prophesying, they're prophesying the word, not just a word. Okay? And so you know, here I am, and I'm being stretched. You know, it's interesting that when I studied this, I always thought that stretching out your curtains meant add more curtains, but it didn't. You read it. It says, stretch out the curtains you have. In other words, they had enough curtains. Now they've cleaned out more space. You can stretch out the curtains of the tent. In other words, you clean out the space, but you stretch out the curtains you already had. And I saw that as a picture that basically you have everything in you right now. All you got to do is stretch out. All you got to do is fan on them gifts like Pastor does for many of you. You got to stretch out the curtains. You got to enlarge your capacity. This has been a year of stretching for me and Pastor Carol. It's been stretching for us. You know, we don't get to see the same people every week. It's kind of nice when you're pastoring. We were talking a little bit about this, and it's like, you know, every week I get to see a little bit more growth. I get to see a little bit more. The sheep still bite me, but I, you'll be all right. You know, but now I'm in different churches every Sunday. It's crazy different. And that's stretching me. Now I'm pastoring over, I think it's like 150, 200 pastors. I'm pastoring youth pastors. I'm pastoring Christian church workers. I'm pastoring 150 missionaries in 26 countries. God is saying, Chris, before you were pastoring a church of 500, but now you're pastoring pastors. How many understand that's stretching out the curtain in my life? And I feel inadequate at some level. You know, it's kind of crazy. It's like having an assistant pastor. No offense to any assistants here. But it's like you don't know until you get the wheel. And my assistant pastor, he and I, we're, like I said, very good friends. 14 years I've discipled him. He's like a son. But now he's got the wheel. And he'll call me and go, oh, man, when we used to turn around in that truck the corner, man, I felt that, but now I really feel it holding the steering wheel. See, it's a whole different thing. And now I'm holding the wheel of the office of president. And it's like, you think, I could do that until you hold the wheel. And then all of a sudden you realize that God is saying, stretch out your curtain. Stretch out your curtain. And he's stretching my life like crazy. It's nuts. Listen to what he says next in there. He says, stretch out the curtains. Look at this. Look at this. Look in there. It says, do not spare. Lengthen your cords. Do not spare in the Hebrew means do not spare. Listen. NIV, if you have a New International Version, this is what your version says. Don't hold back. How about this one? New Living Translation. Spare no expense. We wanted to, and we're going to get a chance today to spend time with Pastor Vic and Dee, because we love them. And we could have just come up here around 5 o'clock yesterday, but we knew if we wanted to see them, I had to leave early. So we left early. Because why? What was driving us was wanting to be with them. We're going to get to be with them tonight. We didn't want to just come to church to preach and then leave. That's easy. God said, I'm not asking you to be a president that just goes in and preaches and love on the people and give them a word and walk out. More stuff happens at the coffee table than it does sometimes right here. You see what I'm saying? And so that costs more of our energy and time. Spare no expense. Then it says lengthen your cords. Lengthen your ropes. Now, when I read that a few years ago, this has been a verse that's been in my heart for a long, long time. I've never preached on it until now. And then in November. When I read that, I had this picture of this crisp ball little pup tent, and it says, lengthen out your cords. I thought what that meant was take your cord and move it further away from the tent and dig it down deeper until I studied it. Lengthening your cord has nothing to do with the tent. It has to do with a measuring stick for how much space you have. So they take a cord and they say, okay, open up your space, lengthen your cord, because you measure it. So this is a 3-yard piece of string, rope. And then this is how much space I'm giving you, 4 cord length. Right? But he says, lengthen your cord, because you see, where I'm taking you is going to be greater space. So I'm saying to reach out, church, lengthen your cord. You got to go to neighborhoods you haven't been to. You got to go into offices at the workplace you haven't visited. Just your neighbor and your friends in your office is not enough. You got to talk to people in elevators if you want them to come to church. You got to lengthen your cord. You can't just stay within this little cord. You got to lengthen your cord if you want to go to this church. Come on. Yes. We need to lengthen our cords. God's given you more room. Clear out your space. Stretch out your curtain. Number 3. Number 1. Clear out your space. She gets an A right there. First and second service. That's why. Okay, moving on. Some things come twice, you know? That's it right there. So, number 1, clear out your... Number 2, stretch out your reach. Stretch out your reach. He's stretching me, folks. Please, listen to me. I'm not preaching anything that's not happening to me. And then last but not least, what's this one? Strengthen your stakes. Strengthen your stakes. Let me give you another version of the Bible. I love it. It's the one in the Message. It says, drive the tent pegs deep. Now, let me tell you what that is about right now. You need to know. I know that those of you here at the first service already know the answer to this. And I appreciate you not fulfilling it and becoming a spoiler alert. Listen to this quote. This will say it all. In the journey towards greatness in God, we must always stay grounded. Come on, listen to me. In the journey towards greatness, we must always stay grounded. One of the things we have to be very, very careful about is staying grounded in our faith. Staying grounded in our faith. In fact, I think that's what Pastor Tom said this morning when he was talking about be strong and courageous. I think a picture of that is to be strong and courageous about our faith. Strong and courageous about our faith. In the journey towards greatness in God, we must always stay grounded. Greatness is not a negative thing in God's mind, but if you're going to be great, you must be a servant. You must be humble. In fact, I can't remember, I think her name was Donna. This morning, a lady said to me, she said, you know, you must be rooted and grounded in love. We must be rooted and grounded. When we move out in God and God starts doing stuff in your life, what you got to be careful of is an ego trip.
That's right.
I am now the president. I was in Africa in December, and I was asked by the director of the movement there called PEFA to do a sermon for 10 minutes for a couple friends of his of another movement, big movement, 3,000, 4,000 churches. And they were doing their 25th wedding anniversary, and Moffat and his wife Donna was invited, and they invited me as a third wheel. And they said, in order to not look silly, go ahead and preach. So I said, okay, I'll preach. So when I was preaching and everything, I gave them a word. I can't remember it all, but basically I shared this word with them at the end. They said, it was just such a pleasure having the President of the United States with us. Somewhere it got lost in translation, and I am the wrong color. Obama is not this color right here, okay? But they were, I think they were playing around, but I didn't get it. Okay, but the idea behind that, though, but it was just funny. But listen, I'm always on my face before God. I've had more intimate time with God since January, just January, than I have had in the last 5 years. I just am enjoying my time with God. Go to the office early, nobody's there. I put this little board that's in my desk out, slip my feet up on there, lean back in my chair, just wait on Him. I'm having a great time hearing from Him. And I want to stay that way. I want to stay that way. In fact, that's why I sat down and worshiped today. I was just sensing God wanting to speak to me about a few things. God, I don't want to move in this thing without being rooted and grounded. I want to be rooted and grounded. Staying humble. I assigned a book to my students this past semester, and it's a book by a guy named Larry Osborne. I couldn't think of his name when I was preaching in the first service. And the book's called Thriving in Babylon. And he takes the book of Daniel apart and basically says, the book of Daniel is not just about a story of a guy and some lions and three guys, Meshach, Shadrach, and away we go in the fire. It's about a life of Christians in a culture that's anti-Christian. Now, we're getting real close to that in America. We're getting real close to that. It's already a post-Christian society. But we are clearly in a culture where Christians are begging for people to respect them when we really haven't earned it. And I believe Elam Fellowship needs to become a light in the dark world. I think Elam Fellowship somehow or another with the churches, I mean Elam Fellowship, I mean a church like yours. We need to be a people of God that are in Babylon but thriving. Thriving in Babylon. And in order to do that, we need to have three things. We need to have wisdom, we need to have humility, and we need to have hope. And that's what the book's about. It's really captured my heart. Because we need to be a generation of leaders in the church today where we have wisdom. We don't need to be stupid. How many of you ever met? Well, never mind. Okay. But you see what I'm saying? People are looking at us. We got to have wisdom about ourselves. And we got to have a sense of humility. And then we also have to have this sense of confidence, hope. Listen to this statement. It's one of my favorite statements out of the whole book. You got to know who's in charge of who's in charge. See, sometimes it seems like the economy's in charge, but who's in charge? You got to know who's in charge of who's in charge. Sometimes it seems like ISIS is in charge, but you got to know who's in charge of who's in charge. Sometimes it seems like life is falling about in your own home, but you got to know who's in charge of who's in charge. And that comes from having a groundedness in Him. And the rest of the chapter, I'm not going to preach it. I'm going to let you have fellowship time. But the rest of the chapter here, if you take Isaiah 54, the rest of the chapter, he talks about these three things. He says, in order to have that confidence of who's in charge, you need to have a healthy fear of God. We have lost a healthy fear of God. Number two, and this is all, that's verses 4 and 6. Verses 7 and 8, we need to be confident of His love. Not just a healthy fear of God. I mean, God is in charge. You realize that, right? If you think you can keep your tithe from Him, hang on, because He can take it from you. God told me a long time ago, because I'm a workaholic. He said, Chris, if you keep stealing the Sabbaths from me, I'll get them back one way. He is in charge. We need to have a healthy fear that you think you're all that. You are not. He is all that. You better believe it. And then, I love her. And then, can you go on tour with me and my wife? I mean, that would be fun. All right, moving on. Okay. Listen, you can be confident of His love, rooted and grounded in His love. And then finally, the last couple of verses there, you can be confident of His promises. He's promised some great things to Reach Out Church. I'm telling you that right now. I know some of the history of this church. He's promised some great things. You've seen a 20-year ride by this couple here that's been awesome. And He hasn't even begun to do what He wants to do in this place. You hear in my heart? He didn't give you all this land for you. He gave it for the people who aren't here yet. Hello? He didn't give it to you for you. He gave it to the people who aren't even here yet. So it's our job to stretch out the cords. It's our job to reach. Okay, stand with me. Let's finish this up. If you stand, you'll know I'm getting close to the end. I am going to be finished here in about 2 minutes. I'm good. I gotta do a wonderful ordination service later. And Pastor Vic's going to be preaching a great word. I can't wait to sit under his teaching. It's always good. You get it every week. Or whenever he's not. When his preaching and not giving it up. Number one, say it with me, clear out His space. How about your space too? Clear out my space. Let's say that. Clear out my space. Yeah. Number two, stretch out your reach. Stretch out your reach. How about stretch out my reach? Come on, say that. Stretch out my reach. And then last one, strengthen my stakes. Drive them deep. Amen. Can I pray for you? Father, I just thank You so much today for this wonderful church and for these wonderful people. I pray for Rose and Roberta for this afternoon. Lord, we pray for a special anointing for that service. But now, right now, deal with us, Lord. Clear out our space. God, I ask that You would take the rocks out of our lives. We're going to put them to You. We're going to build an altar with those rocks. We're not going to throw them or carry them. And Lord, we're going to die on that altar and become a living sacrifice. And Lord, I pray for You to get rid of the weeds in my life, in our lives. Lord, the hang-ups, the things that choke the very things You've called us to. The uneven places, Lord. Areas of imbalance. And Lord, we're coming to You today as vessels ready for You to use. Stretching out our reach. And Lord, help us be rooted and grounded in love. Knowing this fact, that You're in charge of who's in charge. And today we honor You, we love You, we glorify Your name. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you very much.
Hey man, just have a seat for a moment. You know, I just got to have the last word. But I believe that the word that Pastor Tom gave us was not only, they're like bookends. You know, we heard it in the beginning and we need to hear it at the end, because what Pastor Chris shared with us, those are the instructions, but we need to be bold and courageous in order to apply those instructions to our own lives. You know, it's easy to show other people what they need to do, but how important it is for us to recognize that we need to do some things in our own lives. So let me just read to you from Joshua chapter 1. I'm just going to jump to about three different points. Verse 6 says, be strong and of good courage. But before that, you need to know this. Number 5, verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. And then in verse 7, he repeats himself. So when God repeats himself, that is significant. That is important. Only be strong and very courageous. And then a little bit further on, it says, do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. And then finally in verse 9, it says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Hallelujah. Amen. And so I just encourage you this morning, as we bring things to a close, be strong, be courageous, for God is with you when you're walking in his steps. Amen. Hallelujah.